Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us, and He's there for us in every step of the way. You know, the Lord will help us to do and know what is appropriate. As we follow Him, going about doing good, just like Jesus did, and as we do the things that He's given us to do, and as we proceed in life, it's very important to pay attention. I've learned so many things that I never knew to even ask about from the Lord by just paying attention to Him. And sometimes the Lord will behave in a way that suggests something's true that I didn't know. Things that I would be concerned about, and the way, and I'm talking about His response, and the way He sees things, and the way things are. He knows everything, and He knows how to fight. He knows what to do. As we mature in Him, we can do what He does. We can make sober choices, and Jesus wants us to catch on. He always, if we're paying attention, we will. There's a lot here to what I'm saying. If you do these things, you're going to find out for yourself. There are some things people just can't teach you. But the Holy Spirit can cause people to say something to get you on board, get you on the right track. So, as we follow Him and yield to Him, pay attention to His cues. Pay attention to what He says. Pay attention to how He conducts things. When He used to give me a message, I was trying to learn. See, sometimes people, they think they know what to do and they're not trying to learn anymore. It's kind of like the enemy knew this would happen, because when people go to seminary school, they learn everything and they want to make a difference, so they have good intentions. And I believe that. But they learn things in a way, and they stick to a narrative. And they don't feel like they feel like they have learned. And at this stage of their life, they're not students, they're teachers. But that's not the way to do things. This is why the angels that fail. I believe it's the same reason anyway, whether it's true or not. But I believe that, see, when you say, well, I know that all there is to know, I'm an expert at what I'm doing, I don't need to learn anything else. See, that's not progressive. That's the backwards way to think. The Lord told me once that there's only two types of mind, a sober mind and a drunken mind. A renewed mind and an unrenewed mind. With life, if you pay attention to life, there's always more to learn. That's just the way it is. And if you pay attention to the Lord, He's a perfect teacher. Some things He can tell you. That's one way of learning. Some things He will show you. Sometimes He'll amaze you. There's three ways of learning. And over time, the things that you did a long time ago that was right, it's still a process of life. And it mounts up. You're going to see why God said things the way He did. Everything Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mountain, they were in seed form. They would take you to a place. That's the road to the secret place. Living the Sermon on the Mountain is the road to the secret place. Because you're going to start where you are, desiring to treat people just like you want to be treated. When you see a person that needs help and you help them, you put yourself in that position, I wish somebody would help me, then you help them. You're going to see how beautiful life works and what people can become, and how the healing process that began in you is extended to others. And you realize how powerful the Word of God really is, the love of God, the Word of God, the wisdom of God. You find out that it's very, very powerful, and it does good. Men build bombs and blow up things, and they call that power. When you blow something up, you're tearing down the life of others at your will. It took time to build buildings and cars, and it took people money, it took time, it took a lot of finances, a lot of planning, a lot of activity to do these things. And then you go blow it up. You know, that, unless it's an enemy, just blowing something up that other people work for, that puts spiritual debt on your life if you're a terrorist. But that's like the last resort of war. If you steal a man's car, he worked a long time for it. He deserves it. He worked it. He did his part to get the car. And then when somebody goes steal it, you're taking his earnings, which is part of his life. It took his life to do these things. Yeah, but he has insurance. Well, now you're taking it from everybody that's involved. And it puts spiritual debt on your life. And somebody's going to steal from you now. You put something in motion, and you're going to suffer loss because of it. Even if they catch you and put you in jail. And the way laws ought to be, they ought to have you to work it off. You ought to be in jail until the fullness of that debt is paid. And that'll stop crime. But see, Satan don't want crime to stop. He don't want deterrence like that. So the laws are not written as perfect as they should be. But nevertheless, when you see the handiwork of God, and you're bringing things to life, you're helping people that want to live come to life. You're showing people the road, the way to go. And it works. But when you pay attention to the Lord as you do these things, He's going to help you do it even greater. It's beautiful to me, because when you desire to be a blessing, the Holy Spirit can enhance you and equip you to do an even greater job. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you bear fruit, the Lord will purge you, that you bring forth more fruit. Now, the purging, the things that's not right, purging, things that must be purged, those are our reserves, the areas of life that we didn't correct, the things we held back on purpose from God. It could be a habit system. It could be talking too much. Some people, if they like something, they keep it. That's how it works. Some men like to look at women as they shop or whatever. And they don't, if you don't deal with it, that's a reserve. You reserve that from God. And I'm just using these for an example. I've heard people say that. Even Christian people. Things that they don't let go. Some people like to drink a little bit. Whatever it is. Reserves. And just like Romans 14, you know, some people say, well, it's wrong to eat meat. Some people say it is right to eat meat. Some people say you can drink. Some people say you don't. But never do anything against your conscience. And I don't like to tell people, you know, some things are Holy Spirit questions. That you need to get things dealt with Him. But reserves is things that's not right, clearly not right. or not in your best interest, and then you do them anyway. You reserved it from God. It could be doubt. It could be unbelief. Anything. It could be old habits, like doubtful habits. Some people in the habit of doubting, and they're not trying to grow. Some people have low temperance, and they're like a hair trigger. Anything will get them going, and it's easy for them to fuss and argue. Sometimes, you know, it's not easy for them not to do it. It's easier for them to do these things than to not. They're in the habit of it, see. So they never dealt with it. And if their parents did it that way, they think it's okay. But it's destructive against what God is doing. So if they hold on to it, they reserve those things, and they dealt with other things that they know was wrong or didn't want in their life. But anything that a person is wrong, but they don't deal with it, they, on purpose, it's a reserve. If they left things there that's not right, and it's not on purpose, they didn't do it with intent, those are allowances. And the Lord can help you purge both of these things out of your life. The things you hold back deliberately and the things that you don't know to get rid of. But see, when you're effective, and it's wise for God to move forward and help you reach others, but the contaminants must be dealt with, because people will learn the contaminants. And they'll think that it's okay. If the bishop drinks a little alcohol from time to time, then everybody's going to do it. Half of the people already wants to. Their wife trying to get them to quit drinking, and they don't. And they love God, and they feel. And the pastor taught them not to drink, but the bishop come to town, and he has lunch with the pastor, and he orders him a Budweiser. So now the men are going to start. You know, it's going to start a rift. It's going to start some. People are going to want to see what they can get into. That's how it works. But if these things are purged, then it won't be a problem. And then there's times people say, well, you can't drink this, you can't drink that, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. They once said, you can't drink coffee. You know, some things are neither here nor there. That's not a reserve. I mean, people put restrictions on people because of their preference. That must be purged out as well. If it's wrong, don't do it. If God is silent about it, you have liberty. It's up to your conscience. If you're concerned about it, go to the Holy Spirit. And if you go, whatever you do, do it in faith. I recently had a new confession. I said, Lord, I want all of my life to be worship. I want all of my life to be worship. And people make they sever relationships over opinions. Things like smoking, even drinking. When I was coming up, even watching movies, I watched movies, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about TV movies? People say you shouldn't watch them, you know. And I liked to. Well, I didn't want to do anything. I wasn't asking the Lord this because of what they said. I felt like it was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. But I asked the Lord to make sure. I said, I don't want to go through time doing something that annoys you. I want to know. He put it to me this way. He said, some things are neither here nor there. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Do what's right. You know, I went to a holiness church. They taught women they couldn't wear pants. And I went to the Lord about that, because it was causing problems. People wanted to come to church, but they couldn't wear pants. And the Lord never, ever told me to tell women they couldn't wear pants. That's one of the things that's neither here nor there. It's up to all he said about the dress code of women is to dress modestly. cover yourself up. That's it. They're supposed to be beautiful. You don't have to look like an old washmaid and be obnoxious. See, when people try to be holy without wisdom, it turns into pride. It turns into something that's not of God. And they put restrictions on people and make them feel condemned where God didn't give them that rule. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, it said, when it comes to the commandments and doctrines of men, touch not, taste not, handle not. Because Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And holiness people were scattering people. And they send their daughters to church, to our school. They had to wear dresses all the time. And they wore long dresses. They looked odd. And the kids would crack on them. I've been to school. I heard them talk. And it made them feel bad. And their parents made them do it. So when they got grown, guess what? They didn't go. They stopped going to the holiness church. If they went at all. A lot of people, good people, were scattered. And they go through a lot of unnecessary hardships because of things that should have been purged. And I said, Lord, the scripture they used was Deuteronomy 22 and 5. I said, why is that scripture in the Bible? Man shouldn't wear what pertains to a woman. And a woman shouldn't wear what pertains to a man. It's an abomination in their bars. I said, but the way that they were using it seemed wrong. So I just said, why is that there? He said, it's for the homosexuals. People that had homosexual tendencies. Men would try to dress feminine to attract men. Women would try to dress masculine to attract women. Because they had to fish people out. Homosexuals still do. They fish people out to see who's like them. And they try to keep their life a secret. Back in them days, they did anyway. But the Lord didn't want that in Israel. See, those are things that people will say, well, they are weird. They are, homosexuals are crazy. Well, think about it this way. Some people are adulterers. They try to fish people out too. And some people are fornicators. They try to fish people out. If they are among Christians, they try to see who will be motivated to do what I'm doing. It's just sin. That's what it is. And all sin, whether it's fornication, adultery, or homosexuality, or thieving, or whatever it is, it must be purged out of your life. It can be driven out of your life. And you don't have to walk around confused about what you are. Sometimes people run with a temptation and think that that's normal. That's not. It's costing you something. Those things are destructive against you. Anybody that's persuaded wrong, the sin will destroy your life. That's just the way it is. Now, back to paying attention to the Lord. He will help you drive out things that's not like Him. He will help you go forward and not backwards. He will help you live and not die. He will help you to go forward in life. And you will do better. You will prosper. You will succeed. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And if you follow through with what God is saying, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. And people make doctrines of these things. They preached the women couldn't wear pants. They couldn't wear makeup and jewelry and all these. And God couldn't do much with those churches because they caused too many problems. But the one thing they had was they had a strong worship and they had the Holy Spirit. Now, learning to pay attention to the Holy Spirit is something even greater entirely. If you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, some things you'll learn and you'll walk out of it. I had to learn from God what was right, what was wrong, and how to deal with it. And He helped me do it. And He gave me, I had understanding. And I could do things in faith and in good conscience. It's very important. But when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, you're going to learn greater things. Now, I'm using minimal things to show you some of the examples of what I've learned by paying attention to the Lord. I learned not to fear. I learned to live without fear. I learned to ask questions and hear Him out. And while we're on the subject, He might teach me something else. I learned to pay attention. When Jesus was in the boat and they woke Him up because of the storm, he acted like He wanted them to catch on. Why didn't you stop it? He didn't teach them to stop it. But all the other things He did suggested that they could have stopped it. And as you pay attention to the Lord, you learn principles like that. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.